Very good, murmured Dumbledore. So the Death Eaters were able to pass from Borgin and Burks into the school to help you. A clever plan. A very clever plan. And, as you say, right under my nose.
Yeah, said Malfoy, who bizarrely seemed to draw courage and comfort from Dumbledore's praise.
Yeah, it was.
But there were times, Dumbledore went on,
weren't there, when you were not sure you would succeed in mending the cabinet, and you resorted to crude and badly judged measures, such as sending me a cursed necklace that was bound to reach the wrong hands, poisoning mead there was only the slightest chance I might drink.
Yeah, well, you still didn't realize who was behind that stuff, did you?
Sneered Malfoy, as Dumbledore slid a little down the ramparts, the strength in his legs apparently fading, and Harry struggled fruitlessly, mutely, against the enchantment binding him.
As a matter of fact, I did, said Dumbledore. I was sure it was you.
Why didn't you stop me then? Malfoy demanded.
I tried, Draco. Professor Snape has been keeping watch over you on my orders.
He hasn't been doing your orders. He promised my mother.
Of course, that is what he would tell you, Draco. But
he's a double agent, you stupid old man. He isn't working for you. You just think he is.
We must agree to differ on that, Draco. It so happens that I trust Professor Snape.
Well, you're losing your grip then, sneered Malfoy. He's been offering me plenty of help, wanting all the glory for himself, wanting a bit of the action. What are you doing? Did you do the necklace? That was stupid. It could have blown everything. But I haven't told him what I've been doing in the Room of Requirement. He's going to wake up tomorrow and it'll all be over, and he won't be the Dark Lord's favourite anymore. He'll be nothing compared to me. Nothing.
Very gratifying, said Dumbledore mildly. We all like appreciation for our own hard work, of course. But you must have had an accomplice, all the same, someone in Hogsmeade, someone who was able to slip Katie
Dumbledore closed his eyes again and nodded, as though he was about to fall asleep.
Of course, Rosmerta. How long has she been under the imperious curse?
Got there at last, have you? Malfoy taunted.
There was another yell from below, rather louder than the last. Malfoy looked nervously over his shoulder again, then back at Dumbledore, who went on.
So poor Rosmerta was forced to lurk in her own bathroom and pass that necklace to any Hogwarts student who entered the room unaccompanied? And the poisoned mead. Well, naturally, Rosmerta was able to poison it for you before she sent the bottle to Slughorn, believing that it was to be my Christmas present. Yes, very neat, very neat. Poor Mr. Filch would not, of course, think to check a bottle of Rosmerta's. Tell me, how have you been communicating with Rosmerta? I thought we had all methods of communication in and out of the school monitored.
Enchanted coins, said Malfoy, as though he was compelled to keep talking, though his wand hand was shaking badly. I had one and she had the other, and I could send her messages.
Isn't that the secret method of communication the group that called themselves Dumbledore's Army used last year?
Asked Dumbledore. His voice was light and conversational, but Harry saw him slip an inch lower down the wall as he said it.
Yeah, I got the idea from them, said Malfoy with a twisted smile. I got the idea of poisoning the mead from the Mudblood Granger as well. I heard her talking in the library about Filch not recognizing potions.
Please do not use that offensive word in front of me, said Dumbledore.
Malfoy gave a harsh laugh.
You care about me saying mudblood when I'm about to kill you?
Yes, I do, said Dumbledore,
and Harry saw his feet slide a little on the floor as he struggled to remain upright.
"But as for being about to kill me, Draco, you have had several long minutes now. We are quite alone. I am more defenseless than you can have dreamed of finding me, and still you have not acted."
Malfoy's mouth contorted involuntarily, as though he had tasted something very bitter.
"Now, about tonight," Dumbledore went on, "I am a little puzzled about how it happened. You knew that I had left the school, but of course..."
He answered his own question.
"Rosmerta saw me leaving. She tipped you off using your ingenious coins, I'm sure."
"That's right," said Malfoy. "But she said you were just going for a drink. You'd be back."
"Well, I certainly did have a drink, and I came back after her fashion,"
mumbled Dumbledore.
"So you decided to spring a trap for me?"
"We decided to put the dark mark over the tower and get you to hurry up here to see who'd been killed," said Malfoy. "And it worked."
"Well, yes and no," said Dumbledore. "But am I to take it, then, that nobody has been murdered?"
"Someone's dead," said Malfoy, and his voice seemed to go up an octave as he said it. "One of your people. I don't know who. It was dark. I stepped over the body. I was supposed to be waiting up here when you got back. Only your Phoenix lot got in the way."
"Yes, they do that," said Dumbledore.